the belief of the King James Bible. I'm going to do that into 10 and 11. I believe the Lord has got some good stuff here this week. And so I'm going to start kind of backtrace where I started left off last week. And I'm going to read a little bit of this. It says, just because they have called on the name of Jesus. Now, we're talking about those. I'm learning a lot of stuff, you know, going to the Bible and comparing verses to verses and such like that. But there's a lot of people out there who are calling themselves Christians who are in these, I was talking to Amy, I don't even like to call them Bibles. I'm just going to call them perverted books because that's what they are. They're man's thoughts. They're not what God has given us. And so anyway, they're claiming to have Christian. They're claiming to have Jesus Christ. They're claiming to be saved. They're claiming that they have the right God and claiming all this stuff. And I'm just telling you now, it's so false. They don't have what we have, those who are saved in this room. They don't have what we have. Now, just because they say they have called on the name of Jesus and believe on him does not mean so. And Paul warns us this very thing. If you could turn with me to 2 Corinthians 11, I'm going to show you where Paul is. He warns of this, and I may have hit this, so I just want to do a little bit of backtracking here, and then we'll go on from there. 2 Corinthians 11. And, you know, these people here will deny that this is even exists or that it would even be warning them, but Paul gives us a warning what's going on. 2 Corinthians 11, and I'm going to read verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which we have not received, or another gospel which we have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So there is another Jesus, and there is another gospel and another spirit, and Paul gives us warning to that church even at that time. And there's an explanation behind it, so I'm going to go in, and I'm going to read Isaiah 14:13, if you want to go ahead and turn there. Isaiah 14:13. And I'm going to give you a little shot of something that I learned this week. And me and Amy, you know, we talked about it for a great while yesterday. And it's amazing what's going on and how people need to really get in and study their Bible. And I'm just telling you, there's things in here that will reveal things to you of what's going on. Isaiah 14, the other Jesus, the other spirit, the other gospel is preached. And it's the movement that we see in so-called churches today. And it is of the devil. Isaiah 14, verse 13 says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, and I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregations in the side of the north. And it says that in verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High God. Most people think that the devil is scary and he is a beast with horns, but he is not. He said in his pride, he will be like the Most High. He will not be the opposite. And so now I'm going to go in and I'm going to read something that we picked up on yesterday. And I'm going to turn to in here. Now I just want you to know, unfortunately, that I'm holding a perverted book in my hand. Okay? But I need to show you what's going on and where most people are missing stuff. Now, the word Lucifer is only used in the King James Bible one time. The word bright morning star is only used in the Bible one time. So let me show you what the devil is doing with these new translations. If you would, you're already in Isaiah 14. Who is the bright morning star? Does anybody know who the bright morning star is?
Dad.
Jesus Christ. Okay? That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the bright morning star, and you can find that in Revelations 22:16. Matter of fact, I'll read it real quick. Revelations 22:16. And it says this, let me get there real quick. Revelations 22:16. And it says, I, Jesus, has sent my angel to testify unto these things. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. Jesus plainly lets them know that he is the bright and morning star. So now we're going to say it's only used once in the Bible. Who is Lucifer? And his name is only mentioned once. And I'm going to go to that right now in Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14, 12. And I'm already here. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? That's in the King James Bible. We see that they're talking about Lucifer. Now let me read you here Isaiah 14, verse 12 out of NIV. Are you ready? How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. They have taken the name of Lucifer out of the Bible, and now they're taking and putting the same name that's on Jesus Christ, and they're making that Jesus Christ who's fallen from heaven. You see, if they can, now this is where most people are blind to this thing, because the devil, if he can take his name, if he can erase his name out of the Bible and it has anything to do with evil, he says, I will be like the Most High God. Now the NIV, those who are writing the NIV, have taken Lucifer's name out of the Bible. They've given him an attribute of Jesus Christ. So now what's happened? He has become like the Most High God. Why? Because they've called him the same thing Jesus did. Took his name out and gave him the name of Jesus Christ in that passage. But let me go on. It gets better. It says here, it says that Isaiah 4:12. Now in the NIV, they removed the name Lucifer. I just got a little sticky note here I'm trying to read off of. Now in the NIV and the other Bibles, when you see the word the one, the Lord, or Christ, it's actually referring to Lucifer. Turn to John 1:14. Turn to John 1:14. Let me show you what I mean here. Turn with me to John 1:14. Now, what they've done is they've taken Lucifer and all that, and they've replaced the name, Satan and so on, they've replaced it with the One, the Christ, and the Lord. Those are now the new names that they've given the devil in the NIV. And I'm going to show you that. John 1:14. Acts John 1:14. John 1:14 says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now I'm going to go in to John 1:14 in the NIV. Now listen, here we go. And the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. For we have seen His glory, here we go, the glory of the One. The glory of the One. Capital O-N-E. Now you go and search out your King James Bible. Never is one used in that way. Never is it capital O-N-E. In the NIV, they've taken O-N-E and taken the name and given it to Lucifer, and now where Jesus Christ's name should be, now they're putting the devil's name in there. You see, they've replaced that, and you got these phony baloney Christians who are reading these Bibles, they don't catch on to that kind of stuff. Yeah. And now the devil is going ahead and he's taking his name out of their Bible and he's saying, I'm Jesus Christ. He's become like the Most High God in their churches, in their Bibles. And I think it's a shame. It's a shame. It's scary. Yeah, very scary. And so it just goes to show you that the Luciferians are the ones behind all this stuff. And, you know, next week I'll share with you a little bit more of the stuff. Gail Ripling, or she's got a bunch of things written down. I didn't bring it with me today, but it just goes to show you that how they've changed their dictionaries. And, you know, it says anywhere that you see the name Lord, take Christ away from there, or take Jesus away from there, and give that attribute to the devil. Because they're trying to make the devil look less evil and look good. And now they're trying to make Jesus Christ, eradicate him, and put the devil in his place. But that's just some of the stuff that's going on, you know, with these new versions and stuff. And I wonder why. You guys have heard me say it before. I believe a King James Bible reaches down to that lost sinner, I mean, who's in the absolute gutter, and brings them up to a place that they could would have never imagined being in their entire life. And that's what God does. That's what He does. He uses that Bible and He brings them up to a higher level. I'm telling you now, I'm a better person than I ever have been. I'm in a better place in my life than I ever have been. And it did never come from them perverted versions. Okay, it came from a King James Bible. It came from the power of God in His Word that brought me up. Now, what them NIVs are doing is they're trying to take God and bring them down to their level, bring them down, Him down to their belief. And that's what they're doing. They're calling themselves Christians. They've got it all wrong. They've got everything all mixed up. Why? Because they're worshiping their father, the devil. That's who they have. They got the devil. And let me just ask you this. You can look at their lives and know that they are not living separate from this world. Why? Because He is the God of this world, and they are living just as He is. And they're using His Word, and they're using His churches, and they're calling it Christianity. Now, the reason why they're getting rid of Lucifer and all that and using the word one, the Lord, and the Christ is because they're trying to make it for the Hare Krishnas, the Buddhas, and everybody else to feel comfortable with that. Because if you take the name Jesus or Christ out of the whole equation, they're comfortable with the one. They're comfortable with the Lord. They're comfortable with the Christ. Because they don't want Jesus Christ. They don't want who he really is. They don't want him attributing to God. You know, they believe in a God, Allah, and all that stuff. But now they don't believe in Jesus Christ. They believe he was just a prophet, just a man. That's all he ever was. It's written in their Qurans and everything else. But they take out Jesus Christ as a whole. They take his name out of that thing and attribute everything to the devil. They're really comfortable with that. They don't mind reading a Bible that doesn't have Jesus Christ in it. But they're missing the whole mark on this whole thing. But anyway, I just thought I'd point that out. It just really blew my mind yesterday to see that, you know, that Lucifer, the devil, is used one time in the King James Bible. Morning Star is used one time in the King James Bible. And the NIV translators have taken both of those and made them Jesus Christ. And it's not. It is not. I mean, they are absolutely perverting them versions of the Bible and just... It's having a bad impact. We can see we don't have much victory in America anymore because they've kicked God even out of his own Bible. Yeah. They've kicked him out of the schools and out of buildings and churches and lives and hearts and Bibles. I mean, they've go ahead. I mean, just making a mess of this whole thing. But the devil said, I will ascend above the clouds and I will be like the Most High. People think the devil's a scary human being. He's a scary devil thing with horns on his head. You go ahead and read about the devil, and he was made one of the most beautiful angels ever created. That's what he looks like. He's not this scary thing. Maybe his minions are his little fallen angels. Maybe they are, but he isn't. And so now they're looking for something that's satanic. These fools out here are looking for something that looks like a guy was standing there with a pitchfork. And they're missing the whole thing. And the devil's in their church this morning as they sit there and try to preach that garbage and blow it. Maybe they don't even open what their little books. There. I don't know if they preach out of them. Who knows? You know, I just know this. They use a lot of what other men are preaching. They use a lot of, you know, there's a website. You can go and buy sermons. Yeah. What version would you like it in? You know, whatever version you want that in, you can get by it and go out there and preach it. God forbid if I ever got myself in that nonsense. The Lord can't give me something out of his word, then I don't belong up here. I don't belong up here. But anyway, okay, so a victory to the devil is to get people to fall for this very thing. He is the God of this world and has blinded their minds, lest the glorious light of the gospel of the image of God should shine upon them. We've read that before. We've went through it. 2 Corinthians 4:4. The God of this world has blinded the minds. The devil has got their minds so blinded. But you know what, Christian? It's our job to get out there with the King James Bible and have the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that shined on each and every one of us in this room for that would happen to them. For that would happen to them. Now, I'm going to tell you, some of the hardest people you'll ever deal with is them. I'm just telling you, boy, man. They say we're the ones who attack and we're this and we're that. And I'm just telling you, they are so judgmental. Pastor went through it pretty hard here for the last few weeks. He was working with somebody, not bashing. He doesn't do that kind of, you guys know Pastor John. He just doesn't bash people like that. So he's helping and so on and so forth. And then this person turned around and started calling all these people saying he's doing that. And next thing you know, his phone's getting flooded with all these people threatening them. Who are you to go to her with that Bible saying that's the only one, blah, blah, blah. I'm just telling you, they attack. They swarm like them killer bees, man. Yeah. They're coming in to attack. But yet, we're the ones. And you know what? I can see their point. Because if you read the news lately, here we go. Some Baptist church there, I can't remember her name, who's out there, they're out there picketing. Bidden there, he's the vice president. They're picketing his son's funeral. A Baptist church is doing that. They were blocking people from going into the man's funeral. It doesn't matter what he was living. You're going to put a Baptist name out there and do that kind of guard? Leave that man alone. Regardless of what he, that's his son just died. Our vice president's son just died, and they're out there at Baptist church, and they're picketing the funeral. God forbid if we ever get in that mess. But that's the mess. That's why people look at Baptists the way they are. Oh, God, tell them you're a Baptist, and oh, my goodness. They will look at you like, I mean, something's wrong with you. They will fight the, they will fight to, these people here, they fight those who hold the King James Bible and their truth. And they attack and see us as fanatics. You believe they see us as fanatics? Yes. I believe they're a little fanatical in what they believe. They're a little radical in how they do things. You know, but they say we're always the ones coming on and attacking. But I tell you what, though, I'm not backing down from what I believe. I don't care what anybody says or thinks of me. I just don't. Because, excuse me, the more I read this Bible, the more I get along with this, the more I really understand and know the one who wrote that Bible knows exactly who I am and what I need. I'm just telling you now, I kid you not, I was having a bad day Wednesday. Bad, I mean, things just went awry. And now I didn't know a missionary was coming. And I had sat there that morning and I prayed the Lord something. I said, Lord, I feel like that donkey that has that carrot in front of him. And I said, I just can't ever seem to get that carrot. I said, I'm done with that kind of life. I need you to step in. I need to be able to grab that carrot. So Wednesday I go to church and I find out this guy here, Chris Morales, is there. Oh, cool. All right. You know, he's a really nice guy. We're talking, blah, blah, blah. And he gets up there. Now, not knowing my life. And he preached. One of his very opening statements were, are you tired of being that guy who's chasing the carrot? I'm just telling you, that is not coincidence. No. That's a guy who was, you know, he ended up preaching on the book of Jeremiah 20, where Jeremiah's people were waiting for him to stop, give up, throw in the towel. That's what he preached on. And I said, oh my goodness. You know we needed that day. Because that's exactly what we were going through. And my God stepped up to that pulpit and he came at me and my wife. And I'm just telling you now, it hasn't happened to me in a long time. And I mean, I absolutely just bawled in my pew. Me and her were just crying. I mean, just because God took the time to come and visit us and let us know to hang in there. And then the very next day, he shows me more, and the next day, showed me more. I'm just telling you, man, I have a God who's good. I have a God who's real, and I have a God who wants to help. I have a God who wants to lead and guide. And you know what he says? Go to my word. Not only does he do it through word, but he does it through the preaching. The preaching of God's word. And I'm just telling you, what a mighty God. And so you can't, no, and I'm not saying you guys would, but you're not ever going to convince me this Bible's not real. It's just, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, cometh by what? Hearing the word. Comes by hearing the word. So I thank God for his word. Anyway, they do as their father does in John 8:44. If you could turn with me to John 8:44, and I'm going to read a couple of verses there. And, John 8:44. All right, let's go. You're the father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and he is the father of it. And I'm just telling you now, you know you can see that in these people's lives. You can absolutely see that there is no truth in them whatsoever. But I'll tell you, you know what it says? And I should have brought that paper. Anyway, I looked up, and you know, they get it confused, where, and I forgot what the verse is. I have to look it up. It says, you will know the truth. And it says, their Bible says, they will set you free. Set you free may mean it may happen, it might not. But what happens is, in our Bible, it says, it will make you free. Make you free. So I went and looked up the definition back in 1835, the King James Bible definition, and I went and looked it up, and it means that it will constrain you. And it will constrain you to the point that that thing will happen. It will come to pass. That's what make you free. The word make means something that will grab a hold of you, it will constrain you, and will hold on to you, it will put pressure on you until that thing comes to pass. And you know what? The truth will make you free. That truth, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That word that's right there sitting on that pulpit, that King James Bible that's sitting in your lap, that is the truth, and it will make you free. And I'm up here to tell you today, it has made me free, and it continues to make me free. Amen. Continues to make me free. It's, you know what? And it's not really a choice of mine, but it's not a bad, I don't feel a bad pressure. Sometimes I do, because I hold on to things. I'm a knucklehead. I'm a hardhead. I learned the hard way. I mean, how many years did I spend in jails and prisons and rehabs and mental hospitals? I learned the hard way. But it made me free. Amen. From the inside out. Now, what you see on the outside was not important to God. It came with it, but you know what was important? It was Him making my heart free, making my mind free, setting my conscience free. And you know what? When that all happened, then the outside, now you're seeing the outside reflection. Now you're seeing why what happened on the inside is floating on the outside now. And all that stuff keeps coming. Because why? He made me free. Because I realize that's the truth. And I thank God for it. You know, we just tell you, in the midst of all the trouble me and Amy have been going through, today's what, Sunday, so Friday. We've been going through really hard times, having trouble. So we get out, we're having family time, family Bible time. At dinner time, I usually do it because we're all together. It's a good time to sit down, eat, and read the Word of God. So we do. I get down there. I start preaching the message out of the Bible. That's something I even preach to my family. And you know what? God preaches to me at that table. And you know what? Lo and behold, I don't care if you believe it, you want to believe it, do what you want to do with it, but Autumn got saved. Amen. And we're treating it as that she got saved.
That's right.
And we're going to let Jesus Christ give her that faith. And have her stand on Jesus Christ and believe that He wanted to save her. And then last night I went and taught her about 1 John 5, where it talks about that you can know. These things are written so that you know that you have eternal life. And she just got up, she gave me a hug. She said, thank you, Dad. And I believe Jesus Christ touched that little girl's heart. You know why? I preached the law in my house.
That's right.
Because they need to see they're breaking God's law. And you know what? She realized, oh my goodness. She goes, Dad, I used to think I was saved 2 or 3 times before. She goes, I realized I wasn't. She goes, but I know I am today.
Amen.
That was her. I didn't make her say that.
That's right.
You know what? We're going to treat her like she's a saved girl.
That's right.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for that. Why? Because Jesus wants to make her free.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to make that one free. And anybody else in this room or any other church that's being preached to today, He wants to make those people free.
Amen.
Make them free. Thank God. These people don't know the truth. Why? Because they're doing what their father said. Their father's the devil. They have to do this. It's what they're taught. It's in their hearts. They have turned from the truth to pride. And by their pride, it brings hate and bitterness, which leads to spiritual murder, just as their father, the devil. They may not go out there and just, you know, may not go out there and kill somebody literally, but they're killing people spiritually. And you know what? That attributes to murder, which is their father. It says he's a murderer from the beginning. And they're doing it just like their father. They have no truth in them. They're liars and they're murderers. They're taken right after the devil. That makes total sense. It makes sense to me why they act the way they act. You know why? Because their Bible teaches them that. Do you know why the radical Muslims act the way they do? Because that's what the Quran teaches them. They're only acting that way. You know why I act the way I do? Because my King James Bible teaches me to act this way. Yeah. Thank God it does. You know, it's sad to say it. I'm not bragging, but I can just tell you this right now. I can guarantee you 110% that me and you would never be friends, ever, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ stepping into my life and saving me. And I'm not saying that because I wouldn't have liked you guys. I was just a jerk. Straight up, there's no other thing. A lost, nasty, disgusting person who would have looked for a way to rob you rather than to help you. That's what type of person that's who's standing up here today. That's who's standing up here today. I was a murderer. Murderer. God said, you know, I died for him. I'm not going to let this one go. I'm going to show the world. I'm going to show the world my power through him. People think that it can't happen to them. It's not that it can't happen. They don't want it. That's what the whole problem is. He leaves it to you. It's your choice of what you want. Once you make that choice that, yes, I want to come to the Lord. Yes, I want my life to be different. Yes, I want my life to change. Yes, I want my life to be happy. Yes, I need to seek the Lord. I'm just telling you now, He starts wooing you and showing you things, guiding you and leading you. And then one day you see your heart just the way He's seen it. And bam, it's all over. All over. I thank God for him doing that for me. 6 months later, he did it for my wife. I believe that the King James Bible went against everything of man. Isaiah 55:8 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Let me ask you, how are they still caught in this garbage den? How are they still living any old way they want when God makes it clear that his ways are not our ways are not his? That's totally not. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you've heard it said a million times. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Why? Because God puts that new stuff in you. He puts all that stuff in you. Why? Because His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not our ways. Thank God I don't have a God that's on my thought, on my wavelength. Imagine serving a God on your wavelength, what you think. Thank God I don't have a God that way. He agrees to the stuff, you know, that He calls us out to and so on and so forth. But if God ever came down to my level and started agreeing with the things that I think, I'm just telling you, everything would be a mess. A mess. It would be just an absolute mess. And I thank God He doesn't have the same thoughts as me. And you know what? Not all my thoughts are bad either. God puts good things on my heart. He gives me visions. Those visions from Him, they're good thoughts. But they had to come from Him. You know, desires. It says you, it'll make you free. Your desires become different. You start wanting to do things differently. You look at people differently. You know, all that stuff comes. Why? Because I would have never thought that way in the past. Ever. Something had to come in and create a miracle inside of me for me to start thinking on God's wavelength. Me, listen to me. Listen to how I said that. Me thinking on Him. Not Him thinking on me. Because if He started ever thinking the way I thought, this whole world would be in trouble. I'm just telling you right now. Woo! Thank God for that. Amen. Isaiah 55:9 says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word... So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth." This is the Lord talking. His word out of His mouth. "It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing where I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." You understand? When you get what God is saying in His word, He says you will go out in peace. You will be led forth with joy. With joy. I tell you, last couple of weeks, I mean, man, it's been a lot of sick people. I mean, a lot of people down and out and so on. But I'm not trying to brag on anybody, but I've seen somebody deathly sick, and I mean really sick, in the hospital and still full of joy. And that was her sitting right here in this church. She still had the joy of the Lord in her heart in that hospital. Now, I went to go visit other people. They didn't have that attitude. There's something different than that. There's something different than when you're that sick that you still have some joy in your life. And things of of your family and the things of the Lord still mean something to you when you're sick. That was her. That blew my mind. That was something I just said, man, there's something to her. There's something to that lady. There's something there, man. I'm just telling you, you know what it is? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, why? Because he says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands instead of the thorn." That thorn was a curse put on mankind. It was put on this ground by the Lord back in Genesis. It was a curse. Those very same things they kicked upon His head. They took His curse, the thing that He cursed, and they kicked Him back on His head. But He says this, He'll take that thing that's cursed. "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up a myrtle tree. And it shall be of the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." So you know what? As a lost person, His word is saying this. When His word comes in and you start listening to it, it's going to lead you in joy. It's going to lead you in peace. And instead of being a cursed thing, you're going to now bring forth good fruit. You're going to now bring forth things that are useful. That's what His word does to a person. That's what it does to their heart. That's what it does to their minds. Now, can we mess up? Yes, we can mess up. I messed up pretty bad the other day, I'd say. But you know what happened? I just said, come on, family, we're all going to go. All four of us got on our knees and we prayed to get that thing right. That's what we had to do. That's what we had to do. Why? Because the Lord's word went forth. He said He'll lead us. So now I'm not going to sit there and dwell on that thing and make it worse than it already is. But no, I want to do something different. I want to handle this differently. We're going to bow down before our mighty God. We're going to pray, "Lord, forgive." Some things were said. Some things were done that shouldn't have been. Let's get this right and let's move forward. That's the fruit He brings with His word. That's the fruit He brings. You know what? I don't see any fruit with these other people. All their stuff is outward. Yeah. It's all outward. It's all works and what they're doing, where they're volunteering. Now that's good stuff. But God needs the heart to be clean first before it can really be done for Him. It's got to be done for Him. And you know what? It's Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not of men. They're doing it for men. They're doing it for show. They're doing it for every... Let me just say this. I love Pastor John. I love Pastor Hayne. I love Carrie, Esther, and you guys. But I don't do this for anybody sitting in this room or anybody at Black Creek.
Amen.
He called me out to do this for Him. Okay, that's who I do it for. And you know what? If I ever lost that, and I do love coming here and seeing you guys, that's not my point. But my point is that I'm doing it for Him. I mean, for His glory, that maybe, just maybe, there's something that needs to be said. Somebody needs to hear something, and He'll get in and get that heart, and He'll show them the hope or show them whatever needs to be done. Just like Wednesday, that was shown to me when that guy got out there, was faithful. Now, he said he pulled in our parking lot. He had no clue what he was going to preach. That's something God put that on His heart when He pulled in there. You see? God knows what we need.
Amen.
I thank God for a God who's like that. I thank God I don't have to go out and kill people for it, have favor and blow people up and, you know, kill that one and do this and bow down 25 times a day, stand on my head, wash the back of my ears between my toes before I pray to God. I'm glad I don't have to do all that stuff. Now, if He ever asked me to, of course we would do it. But He's not cruel like that. You know, He's not a cruel God. That's a very cruel God to make you go out and do stuff like that. Anyway, oh, thank God for who He is. Then I understood that God would and could do such a thing because He is God and wants us to know Him. He wants us to know about Him and His ways and not our ways. It's obvious that God needs to teach us His ways because man cannot do it. If man could do it, then Jesus Christ died in vain. We could not do it. God, and it's simple. In the Garden of Eden, don't eat that. They ate it. He makes His first sacrifice. Now what? You know, they got to mess that up. Now He's got to start giving commandments. Gives the command. Now they messed that up. Now He's got to start giving sacrifices and everything else to be right. You see, God throughout time, since the beginning of time, has made a way for us to be right with Him. But who wants to listen to it? Nobody. Nobody wants to do it God's way. They all want to do it their way and end up in the same place doing the same thing, wondering, how did I get here? I can tell you how you got there. Give up your ways. Surrender for the first time in your life. Surrender your ways. Give it over to God and He'll take care of it. He will take care of it. I mean, we know there's some hard trials coming. We're about to go through it. But you know what we're going to do? We are going to stand and we are going to go through it. I am not running back to that garbage that has done nothing for me. I'm not going back there. It's not worth me going back there. For what? What's it going to accomplish me? To sit back in a jail cell? A mental hospital? A rehab? That's what I want? To lose my family? To lose my church family? I mean, what is it worth out there for me to give everything up? No way. Mm-mm. Nope. He wants us to know His ways because if you cannot agree with God that He gave us a perfect Bible in the King James Bible, then you cannot or do not agree with God, but you agree with man. So if you believe God is all powerful, then you must believe He can give us a perfect Bible. The dispute is not if you believe in God. So if you believe in God, do you believe He is all powerful and there's nothing He cannot do? Tell me, what's the things that God cannot, He can't lie. And He can't let you in heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ. Because that goes against His holiness and His righteousness. He cannot, or did not, leave us here without a perfect Bible. He just didn't do that to us. He gave us one. Now, if you want more information on how to really get into all that scholarly stuff, I'm studying it. But I tell you, go talk to John Asquith. I mean, get a hold of Gail Riblinger. She spent 6 years on one book just studying certain little things here and there. I mean, she's got many books out. But let me tell you, this for me, what gives me my belief is that thing sitting right there on that pulpit. A book, so what somebody taught me besides the Bible, what some other book didn't teach me, what gave me my belief. I believe that when Jesus Christ stepped inside of me, He gave me the faith to be able to believe His word. I can prove it to you out of the Bible. Now, most of you guys, you know the Bible. You know it's true. So I can sit down with you and I can go here and there and I can prove the Bible is right throughout that whole Bible. I mean, I can take you to verse after verse and verse to prove to you how the Bible is right and true and so on and so forth. But you tell me to step outside of that Bible into it, that's a different realm for me. I'm just starting to learn that stuff now. But I learned my faith through that Bible. Why? Because it says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word. That's where it says it comes from. And so I really rely on my King James Bible to teach me. And then it just said in Isaiah that his word's going to go forth and it's not going to return void. Now, when I'm out there and I'm preaching the word or I'm out there dealing with somebody, if they don't want to accept the word, they don't want to believe the Bible, that's on them. They chose that, not me. His word said, he said his word's not going to return void, which means there are people who are going to deny it and there are people who are going to believe it. And thank God I was one who believed it. But I can just show you a few things like I learned in Isaiah there, where they took the name of Lucifer out of there and gave that over to Christ. That's a shame. I mean, that's a shame. That's not what I want. So if you answered yes, then how could you believe that God can't give us a perfect Bible? Is he so powerless that he cannot accomplish this? How does God move in your life? Let you know what you should do. So God could not have done this to men who penned the Bible? People who believe what God has written? Because he has used men to pen it, that it's always written in vain, and that God didn't do it. Jeremiah 8:8 deals with this very thing. It says, how do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? These are people who are sitting back saying, yeah, the law of the Lord's with us, and we're wise. We know what we're talking about. That's what he's saying in Jeremiah 8:8. They think they know exactly what they're talking about. It says, talking to those who believe in God and his word. Okay, so it says, lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. So there's people who believe that they are out there, like the NIV holders, the ASVBs, all those who have those perverted versions. They believe they're wise and that they believe that God's in those books. And that what God written here in the King James Bible is all in vain. They say the scribe is in vain. That's what they're saying. What they have, what man has, what they're holding on to, their churches they're going to, and those perverted books they're reading, they believe that they have it right. They believe they're doing it for God. And you know what Jeremiah 8:8 says? You know what? You guys are believing God wrote that book in vain. Do you believe God wrote that book in vain? Well, that's what people were thinking, that God couldn't give us a perfect Bible, brother. That God couldn't use a man. Let me ask you this. If you think God can't use a man to give us a perfect Bible, then how can you preach the ones that man has wrote? Who made you stand behind that pulpit every Sunday? Who's the one who moves you to supposedly live your Christian life? Obviously, you're doing it on your own. You're doing it out of your own will. You're doing it out of the power of man. You're doing it to impress people. I tell you what, them churches make money.
Yeah.
They get money.
Yeah.
Money is the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. They love money. And it's the root of all evil. And it, you know, Amy, you picked up on it the other day. That money they're getting is supporting the NIVs. They're supporting Lucifer. They're supporting the Luciferians and the cults and all that kind of stuff. That's what all that money is doing. Why? Because it's the root. The love of money is the root of evil. I'm just telling you now, God can give us a perfect. He did give us one. He's not so powerless that he can't. Now, where was I at? Oh, Jeremiah 8:8. Okay, so it says, then it says, that belief makes the word of God to be even truer and man's belief a lie. Could not have God moved to write what he wanted? God, by the moving of the Holy Ghost, moved men to write down what he inspired. And the more people deny it, the more the Bible shows it to be true. 2 Peter 1, please. I'm going to close with this for now. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1, and I'm going to go to verse 20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is any of private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but a holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. They were moved. These guys didn't sit down and pen this Bible by the will of man. They sat down under the moving of the Holy Ghost. Now you listen to people say, yeah, the Holy Ghost maybe do this. The Holy Spirit maybe move here. He maybe do this. Then why couldn't he sit down and have somebody pen the Bible? Why can't God say, you know, and it wasn't man right? I'm going to tell you this now. If you read the Bible and you believe for what it says, do you really believe man's going to condemn theirself? Do you believe man's going to say, listen, if you don't have me, you're going to hell. You're going to burn there in hell. You're going to burn in the everlasting fire. Man's not going to write that about himself. Man's going to be too full of pride, puff himself up and say, no, you're okay. Your work can do it just fine. You have to understand, the Bible condemns man to hell. It shows them they have a sin nature. It shows them their sins. It shows them how to get that health and healing. It doesn't say that they're perfect and good. No, it tells you you're condemned to hell without Jesus Christ. I'll tell you right now, there's not a man on this earth that's going to write that about themselves.
Yeah.
Not, it's not going to happen. God didn't move for the will of men. He didn't move those guys to write those things on their own. No, he moved them with the power of the Holy Ghost on their life and said, we need to get the truth out there. Now, what better way to communicate than written word?
Yeah.
Written word. It's right there for us to read. We can carry that with us, sleep with it, walk with it. I mean, you can do anything with you. You can bring that anywhere you want. It's, there's nowhere you can't bring that Bible. And God gave us the written word. You know what would happen if we didn't have the written word? We wouldn't even pay attention to what God says. How many times does God show you something, and then 10 minutes later, you totally forget about what he showed you?
Yeah.
But you have that word to remind you. That's how I know it's from God. That's how I know it was written from God. These things I believe are not what I have formed an opinion, but what the Bible has taught me for exactly what it says, where it says, and who it says it to. That's just how I believe my Bible. I believe my Bible. It talks to who it's supposed to talk, when it was supposed to talk, how it was supposed to talk, in context, and you can leave it all there. It all makes perfect sense. You can spiritualize things, and that's fine, but it's still got to stay in context. It's still got to say what it says. You can preach it for its truth, for exactly what it says, word for word, and it still makes sense to, in this day and age. I mean, we live in 2015, and you guys have been hearing preaching for a long time, and you know that that Bible in 2015 is just as new today as then when God first penned it. I mean, it's not opioids, it's old religion. No, it's not. It's for these days and times. It'll keep you separate. It'll keep you different. This is what we need. We need the power of God to rest on us and show us and teach us. And I thank God for the King James Bible. We're going to pick up on this at 11.